have you bow in prayer for the moment. Because I really questioned if this was God. Because what I'm about to open up is not a comfortable subject for me. It's an uncomfortable subject. But I had enough pressure from the Holy Spirit to bow and say, okay, I'm going to do this. My prayer this afternoon was, make sure you bring only the ones that you want with, and the ones that are ready. So I believe He's prepared your heart for what you're about to hear. It's not a condemning word. It's a word of education. It's a word of wisdom. And it's a way of life. And I'd like to preface this word that I'm going to share with you very briefly with God's anointed time space, or timeline, versus man. 1988, Halloween night, I was introduced to a gentleman that became quite a gift to me, who prophesied that I would have two more sons. And at that time, it seemed very unlikely that I would ever have extra boys, but that was the prophecy. His name was John Paul Jackson. And John Paul became a part of my life for quite a few years. I don't want to imply that he's my best buddy, but he's been a gift to me. And the word that he gave that night awakened in me a reality check. And it was the first time that I ever heard anybody preach on the subject of controlling spirits and what they can do and their intentions. And I'd like to just kind of have you nudge into 1 Kings chapter 16, and we're just going to take a little tiny nudge as to what God was trying to educate me at that time, and God willing, educate you to go a little deeper now. Chapter 16. And we're going to hit on verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, son of Omri, became king of Israel, and he reigned in Samaria over Israel 22 years. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. And he not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole and did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him. In Ahab's time, and it goes on about a gentleman who rebuilt another city at a cost of his own sons. And then, of course, in chapter 17, you have Elijah fed by ravens. You have the widow of Zarephath, and I don't want to go into the details of that. But I do want to tell you that if you study these chapters, that you will learn that there is a spirit that we call Jezebel, and that God calls Jezebel. And it is operating in the church. It operates in Christian families, Christian homes. It operated in me. It used me, and it abused me. It used my wife, And to this day, I don't think she would probably be aware, because I've never confronted with her, because of her choice to not go into any kind of area of study in that type of warfare. She knows about controlling spirits. That's about the limit of our conversation in that area, because God has not allowed that open door to come. So that's why I asked the Lord to make sure that we would not be discussing this with people who were not ready to discuss what a controlling spirit can do. And I would also make you aware that you cannot have an anointed person of God, an Elijah type of person, a prophetic type of person, without having a Jezebel around, and without an Ahab around. Because all those forces are interested in destroying the Most High God. They can't stand God. They don't like it. Baal worship is self-worship, if you want to make it as quick and as, let's say, as simple as it can be. The vulgar parts of it, I'm not going to go into. It's not necessary. But when I began to understand, and it's been 20 years now, what those forces did to me, what those forces used me and used my family to do, what they had used my parents. I saw Ahab in my dad. I saw Ahab in myself. I saw Jezebel also, because it swings back and forth. You say, why are you bringing this up? Because it's time that the church begins to repent. The controlling forces and what it's done. And why is it around? And I can remember saying to John Paul at one point, why is this allowed in the body of Christ? And he smiled and he says, you know, he says, can we need Jezebel? Why? Don't we need Jezebel? I need a new headache. Well, you wouldn't develop your discernment. You wouldn't be able to develop and see what went wrong with your ancestry as well as your own self. If you didn't see clearly what God wanted to do. In the book of Revelations, it says that that spirit was operating in the church then. So there should not be a surprise that it's operating now. It should not be a surprise that it's destroying churches now. Could not be a surprise that it's destroying families right now. So, why am I bringing it up? Because I believe that there were tools that God has provided. And John Paul wrote a book about the Jezebel spirit, what it does in the church. I have ordered some more of the books from Lord Mercy, Frangipani. They're here. I've got a few copies with me. Francis was also a gift that the Lord gave me years back, but when he wrote that book, the first time I read it was in the early 90s, 91, 92, I believe. And I saw myself so intensely, and what the influence of what that incredible negative force had done, not only to me, but many of my friends, many of my relatives. And I was overwhelmed by the reality of how this has gone on unchecked and almost unspoken of in the church. And in fact, if you look at Francis Frangipani's book, he says to make sure that if you're going to open this up to your church, that you better get ready to repent and stay in a status of repentance. Because control is the Lord's job. He shouldn't take over the Holy Spirit's job. We should be directed and work under Him, not under the anointing of control. Now, I don't know about you guys, but usually whenever I was pressured, I would retaliate. And pressure would come from any individual, and I would retaliate. Well, I had to learn that I could do differently. I had to learn that I didn't have to submit to Ahab and start getting depressed. I didn't have to submit to control and control back what was being pressured on me. I had plenty of times to test this out because both my parents were alcoholics. My mother was in and out of mental institutions for 17 years under alcohol and drugs, legal, of course. But I had to learn that those forces were allowed in the church for a reason and for a season. And I also believe that it's time that we start opening up and letting God know that we're not going to let that force continue its process without some action from us as a church. I have worked with individuals and families on a one-to-one basis with this subject for the past 20 years. Never in the past 5 years that we have been as a church, the House of Prayer, I've never brought this up publicly because, I'll tell you why. The last church that I was involved in, when I was pressed of God to teach on this subject, it was used as a tool by people in the flesh to counteract those who were obedient to the Lord. So instead of being a tool of righteousness, it became a tool of destruction. And everybody that had a word from God was accused of being a Jezebel. Male or female, it didn't matter. If they were depressed, they were accused of being Ahabs. And I said to the Lord, now what? And I was hurt. I was wounded. I was, distraught that the clarity of the books that were written were not conveyed. The intensity of the repentance that needed to be done was required of others, but not of the leaders. And that was very sad. That part probably crushed me more than anything else, because if you read the book, that's the very first thing, is to tell you that the leaders have to repent. The parents, before they can expect their children to come out of this, have to repent. Family members have to take the time to really ask God to forgive them for letting these forces use them, because it can be overcome. A lot of people say, oh, you can't overcome this stuff. Yes, you can. You can be obedient to the Lord, and you can overcome, and it takes time. It takes time to go from step to step, and it takes time for God to deliver you, because a lot of this stuff goes back to weaknesses that are passed on, and they've been passed on. They were in me, and they're probably in all of you. I'm not accusing. I'm just letting you know it's a possibility that they're there. So I felt that it was important to take a look at Revelation so that you can see the commission of the Lord and his angel to the church. So if we can go there. It's in chapter 2, and it's in verse 18. Revelation 2, verse 18. To the church in Thyatira. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write. These are the words of the sons of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and your faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teachings, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely. Unless they repent of her ways, I will strike her children dead. Then all the church will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now that's a heavy dose of warnings. I call them warnings because I believe that any step of that particular revelation that comes into your heart, any particular area that you saw in yourself, in these areas, whether it's a form of witchcraft, immorality of any type, God has his Son's blood available for cleansing. And the repentance is something that you can do. It's not impossible for us to repent. It's not impossible for us to run to Jesus to get solution. It's not impossible for the church to get a turnaround. And I'm saying that because I believe the church should be blossoming like that vision. But a lot of churches are dying. They're dying on their feet. I was in conversation with a gentleman last night for an hour and a half, and that was some of his revelation, some of his understanding. And we didn't go into any of this. It wasn't time. But he's discouraged because he's seeing and he's watching the perversion in the church being acceptable. He's watching control forces taking over. Instead of repentance and humility, it's control and it's deception. It's lies, and it's horrible. It's horrible to watch, and it makes you weep inside. So, I said to the Lord this afternoon, do you really want me to do this? And he said, yes. The book, obviously, is The Jezebel Spirit by Francis Frangipani. You can get it from his website. If you're on the website, you can also contact John Paul Jackson's website, and I brought some of these so that we can pray together as a church against this darkness that has tried to overwhelm us. How many can relate to what I'm talking about? Are there any questions? Witchcraft is self-service. People in the church many times will pray a prayer of self-service. They think it's God, but it's not God because it's to serve themselves. It's not really to do God's plan or God's will. That's lawlessness, yes. Lawlessness. They're not under the obedience of the Holy Spirit. They're under the obedience of I want and I need now. And really push buttons to control. And it's not that. It's not the Holy Spirit. And their discernment is not developed. So my prayer is that their discernment will grow and that they will learn how to go forward without destruction. And the heading on this particular sheet is Reclaiming Followers of Jezebel. Now, how did you become a follower of Jezebel? Well, obviously, you duplicated somebody in your life. And it goes back to judgment. For me, it was anger and judgment against my mother, who was a very controlling person, very fearful person. And from the time I was a little boy, she protected me, overprotected me, in multiples of ways. And I hated it. And as I grew in wisdom and in knowledge and in the world's ways, I ended up being angry at her. and with her and I would have some real loud conversations. I loved her, but I couldn't stand what she was commanding or demanding. And some of those ways were so awful, and the law of reciprocity went to work on me, which I didn't even know about. And that's in Matthew 7 and Romans 2. So if anybody is caught in judgments and fault-finding and criticalness, you take a good look at Romans chapter 2 or Matthew 7, and you'll see what happens. I mean, it's no different than throwing a basketball at that wall over there. It's going to bounce back when it hits the wall. And I judged her, condemned her. I judged my dad for being weak and not standing up to her. And those judgments fell back on me, and the enemy had an open door to take over and use me. So can anybody relate? All right. So whether it's male or female, it doesn't matter. It's not a woman thing. It's not a male thing. It is a demonic thing. Ephesians 6:12 says your battle is not against flesh and blood. It is against principalities and powers. And I believe that even in the books, it is very, very serious when you look at this particular force. It is called a principality. And principalities are not something that you bind. So I give you a warning. You don't bind the spirit. Even though some books may claim to do that, please use the wisdom of Jude. It says the Lord rebuke you. And stay in obedience and in humility. Don't start pulling down strongholds in the heavens because you're going to taste of its wrath. I did that without knowledge, and I got hurt. I landed in the hospital. I was, let's say, the recipient of a word of knowledge that was not confirmed. When that word of knowledge was given, it was given by a person that I trusted. I did not discern the Jezebel spirit there. I went forward and we prayed an intercessory prayer. That same night, I was attacked because God had to give permission for the attack to come on my flesh, and I almost lost my leg. I was in the hospital for several days, two surgeries later. The wound did not close for 4.5-5 months, and I was unable to kneel for almost a year. And the doctor said that I was going to lose that leg if I didn't have a miracle, and I did have a miracle. And my doctor obviously isn't here tonight, but he would be able to verify that he watched what happened to that leg. And today he loves the Lord, and he's a servant of the Lord, and a marvelous gift to me. And but he watched me during that entire test. I never shared the fullness of that picture to him. I only was able to speak to him as a patient-doctor relationship. But now I have a brother-to-brother relationship, which is totally different. And I was kind of hoping that he would have been here too. But I can tell you this, that the Prime Minister of Canada had the same problem at the same time I did, and he lost his life. I didn't get mine. Because of the intercessors and the faithfulness of those saints that were with me, and my ability to humble myself and definitely ask God for forgiveness, even though I didn't know what I had done wrong. It took almost a year and a half before I really, truly realized what was behind that entire test. And I'm praying that you will never have to face that, because there is a bed of suffering that's involved, and I did suffer. The pain was absolutely unbelievable. So I'm not asking you to go there. I'm asking you to stay humble. And if those of you who are listening to this message, stay humble by choice. You may not feel humble. You may not have an urgency to cry out to God for mercy, but you need to do it by choice. So what I'd like you to do is to keep a focus on this prayer. It's reclaiming followers of Jezebel. And it's a cleansing prayer. I'm going to ask you to say it with me as you're looking at the words. And I want you to declare this openly before we start the prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, by an act of my will, I see this spirit working in me, along with Ahab and a few other friends. So, Lord Jesus, I'm flowing with this prayer as a guideline or a formula to get free of any of this in me. It's a cleansing prayer, Lord. and I won. A follower of Jezebel may want to pray these words of repentance and deliverance along this journey towards wholeness. Are you ready? Heavenly Father, I need your Holy Spirit to help me not think and live according to my old ways. I place my childhood fears and bloodlines, curses, behind me. I ask you to cancel them by faith in the name of Jesus. I choose not to be enslaved to them any longer. I lay aside my fears of facing the pain from past friendships, romances, lovers, and relatives. I renounce all pride, bitterness, occult, and satanic spirits. I renounce the spirits of lying and self-exaltation. I choose to hate rebellion and witchcraft. I will not walk in these any longer. Instead, I want to respond in godliness. When I am tested by these deceiving spirits, I ask you to remove any mental strongholds and to help me think and see clearly. I choose not to listen to other spiritual voices. I choose to listen to your voice. From this time forth, I will not trust in lying spirits, nor the spirits who claim to offer me protection from evil. I close every door to Satan. I will not seek a false defense to shield myself from wrong, exploitation, or harm. Instead, I look to you and place my trust in you to protect me from the harm of well-meaning people and from demonic spirits. I choose you, Holy Spirit, to be my defender. I choose you, Jesus, to be my Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, please forgive my sins. I confess I have not loved rightly. Instead, I have resented others. I recognize this as sin. I confess this to you now, and I choose to forgive those who have hurt me. By your blood, I forgive myself as you have forgiven me. I am sorry for my sin. I confess and renounce them, known and unknown. I believe you died on that cross for my sins, and that you rose from the dead and ascended to God the Father. You now sit at his right hand with repentance in my heart. I ask you, Lord, to deliver me and set me free. I ask you to deliver me from the snares of the fowler and to cover me as a shield. Under your wings, I seek refuge. Your truth is a shield to me. I claim your promise in Scripture, because I have set my love upon you, you will deliver me. You will set me on high, because I have known your name. I will call upon you, and you will answer me. You will be with me in trouble. You will deliver me and honor me. Now, John Paul has a personal prayer at the bottom. And I will read it. You don't have to read it. I mean, you don't have to read it out loud. I'm just going to release it so that it'll be there. Here's a prayer that I offer every day for my family and myself. Feel free to adapt it to your daily devotion with the Lord. Lord, I humbly admit that I have mental strongholds in my life that distort my perception of what you are doing. I ask you to tear these down, so that I can perceive clearly. Now, these are based on 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Strongholds are ways of thinking that we have that are not based in God's ways, but they're based in our traditions, based in our family life, and based in controlling our own well-being. It also says, today I loose myself to the Holy Spirit and to walk in the fullness of your purpose for my life. I know that I am capable of doing much more in you than I allow to happen. Therefore, I loose my spirit, soul, and body to be totally yours today. Amen. Now, if you also notice that the Psalms that was given earlier is a quote of this prayer. It says in that, let's see, the fourth chapter, you now sit at his right hand with repentance in my heart. I asked you, Lord, to deliver me and set me free. I ask you to deliver me from the snare of the fowler and to cover me as a shield under your wings. I seek refuge. Your truth is a shield to me. Now, I would also say that you have permission from Jean-Paul to copy these, give them out if you need to. I brought extra copies. But I really believe that if people are serious in getting free, it doesn't take that long with serious business. It will take long if you go back and forth. I found that I would recapture myself. I'd rehear myself saying some of the things, and I'd say, oh my God, look at what I just did. And I'd really quickly repent. I had to sometimes bite my lips because I was so accustomed to defending. Defense is really pride. The only right you have is the right to be broken. I didn't like being broken, so obviously I busted back. Pride is also a co-worker with Jezebel and Ahab.